This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges, and joining me as ever, it's the man himself. It's Mr. Tom Carnduff. I know you hate that.
I know. I'm very well now you've said that as well. Thanks.
Good. It's cheered you up for a change.
Not that miserable now.
we've got a condensed podcast this week. Not much time to record in, so we'll rattle through some subjects, and particularly, as we always kick off the podcast, with the big stories of the week. Quite an interesting week, really, as we approach the end of the international break. But Burnley, top of the Championship, and they're also, in terms of financial terms anyway, they're one of the top sides, not only in the Championship, but the Premier League, with the profit they've announced this week.
Yeah, definitely. Seems to be going a bit good for Burnley, both on the pitch and off it now, as they've posted a club record profit of £30.14 million. And particularly in a climate of where you see teams struggle financially, it's kind of good to hear some positive news about a team's financial situation or a club's financial situation.
Yeah, Burnley, I think there was a little bit of criticism in the Premier League, the fact that they didn't maybe get the players they wanted, and they tried to get a number of players, but didn't quite get a few over the line. But they didn't panic and didn't, you know, spend too much money on players that were necessarily third, fourth, fifth choice on the list. They had a list that they wanted. If they didn't get them, they didn't spend. But that seems to have paid dividends now. I think there's only Manchester United and Tottenham that have posted more profit.
Yeah, I think got quite a tight budget there as well. It's like you said, I think it's the temptation to panic buy, to just throw money at trying to get back into the league. But they've done it clever, in a very clever way, Burnley, much like they went up to the Premier League before. They've done it well. And it's good bright future for them, really, particularly with the way they're going on the pitch, and it looks like they're going to be a Premier League team once again.
Yeah, and that record profit there for Burnley doesn't include the Danny Ings tribunal money, which is still to be determined. Hull City, they've been in the news as well. They've expressed their desire to keep manager Steve Bruce, along with the Burnley manager Sean Dyche. He's been linked with the Aston Villa job. Steve Bruce more strongly, though. Do you think he will stay at Hull City, or do you think that the Villa job's quite a tempting one with the amount of turnaround that's needed there for Steve Bruce? That kind of seems like his job, a project.
Yeah, I can see the appeal in going to a club like Villa, because it does look like they're going to be a Championship club next season. They will need to, like you said, rebuild, and it's kind of a project that will be needed there. But at the same time, you've got to think of everything that's gone on at Aston Villa this season, all the, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well, all the talk surrounding that. And Hull have been fantastic. They've kind of dropped off a bit in recent weeks, but at the end of the day, they are still up there. They've always been up there all season, and it's got that positive feel around the club. So it'll be an interesting one to watch. But for me, I think he'll stay at Hull, particularly if they do get that promotion.
Yeah, more so if they don't go up, maybe he'll be tempted to have a new challenge, Steve Bruce. Here's one for Tom, of course. Leeds United fan often tries to crowbar them in, but some more real genuine and concerning news as well for Leeds United in this running now. Solomon Dakara, he's been handed an 8-game ban for biting. This was against Fulham a while ago, and 8 games for Solomon Dakara, and it seemed just to come out of a bolt out of the blue yesterday when he was banned.
Yeah, definitely. I think like you said, Leeds is often a popular talking point for most fans with what's going on there, and it's just another thing in a long line of issues surrounding the club. And it's just bizarre, really, when you think of everything that's happened at Leeds, that you could think of happening at Leeds, a player getting an 8-game ban for biting. It seemed to be an incident that kind of went under the radar a bit, I think, when it happened. I don't think many people, I certainly didn't notice it when it happened. I don't think many people noticed it. There's no real record of it happening. And like you said, it just came out of the blue, and it was it's a big ban for them as well. I know he's not the greatest striker, but he still gets goals for Leeds.
Yeah, and has improved a lot under Steve Evans.
Yeah, so they're going to be missing that, but I think they're just safe from relegation now. I think there are teams who are probably going to get that last spot, so could be a chance to play the likes of Chris Wood or look towards the young strikers who could get some game time.
Chris Wood back for important for Leeds in this running, especially now where Dakara is banned, I think, until the final game of the season. Yeah, he gets in, doesn't he?
I think he can play the final game against Preston, but it'd be interesting to see if he'll be needed or not.
Yeah, probably not. I would imagine after that. Charlton fans, they've been warned by the police of a recent protest. Still to play at Leeds United, of course, who fans are protesting too. So it could be interesting when those two sides meet. They're going to do a joint protest.
I think when Leeds went down to Charlton, there was the incident with Cellino confronting the Charlton fans, saying to support their team and all that. So, but yeah, the police have warned them about their conduct, but it came after the demonstrations with the beach balls, where they're throwing them onto the pitch, basically saying that, you know, you can't, any missile of any type going onto the pitch is obviously a criminal offence, but a lot of protests going on at Charlton, and the more you see about it, the more and more people that are joining in with these, and it's becoming a quite a strong movement there as well. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye out. And I think the last one spoke about Leeds fans there as well doing their protests. The Charlton did the mock funeral as well. I did see, which is a seems to be an interesting thing that's kind of in fashion type of protest at the moment.
Yeah, I didn't really get it when the Leeds fans did it, to be honest, because it was in the same week as the club announcing. It might be a bit of creative accountancy, but the books weren't too bad for Leeds, whereas Charlton things are maybe a little bit worse. Yeah, it's interesting, like you say, how fans do choose to protest.
Yeah, definitely. It's creative anyway. You notice that it got a lot of attention, which is what they want, much like Charlton with their protests with the beach balls, with their own mock funeral. It got the attention of the media and fans as well. And that's what they'll want. They'll want people to be aware of their cause, so that by the looks of it, fans have been joining the group. So yeah, it does look like it's something that's not going to be over soon anyway.
Indeed. They're the big four stories dominating the 72.co.uk this week. Next, we're going to be looking at the top teams and whether some of the more fancied sides are feeling the pressure this season.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Now, Tom, we can talk as we do. We go a bit more in depth into some of the issues and top teams feeling the pressure is the question I've got in front of me. Coventry dropping off the pace in League One. League One's also maybe seen Sheffield United not really competing all season. And the Championship as well has been a bit up and down.
Yeah, I think you kind of notice this, particularly in League One, with the likes of Coventry, with Burton as well recently. Over they've had a pretty bad Easter for them, dropping points. It does get to that point in this season, I think, where teams are starting to feel the pressure, like you said. The Championship as well, it's constantly rotating between who's top six and who's getting into the top two places. And you look at Brighton as well, they dropped off earlier on in the season, but they've kind of pulled it back now. But I think it shows that some teams are feeling the pressure, and I think at this point in the season, obviously, it's not what you want if you're going for promotion as well.
Yeah, Burnley sit out in front. I know we're going to talk about their game with Brighton a little bit later on. But Middlesbrough, again, have been top of the tree, and things went wrong for them. They've had big falls out between the player and players and a manager as well. Their whole city, you mentioned that in the first section, who were leaders for a point, but they've dropped off again. Can you see Burnley holding on, or do you think the likes of Brighton and Middlesbrough and Hull can come again and maybe challenge them for top spot?
I think Burnley have been consistently good throughout these, particularly the latter stages of the season anyway, the second half of the season. You watch them play, they've had some convincing wins as well, and you can't really see anyone taking them off that top spot. But I think the second place is wide open still. I mean, Brighton currently there, but you've got the likes of Hull, the likes of Middlesbrough pushing to try and get in. I think Derby and Wednesday have dropped off the pace a bit. But it just seems to be a recurring theme every season where the likes of Derby, the likes of Borough have been there, nearly done it, and then ultimately failed to get the promotion. So I think that's something we're probably seeing in League One more than the Championship at the moment. But it's definitely a case of these teams are feeling the pressure.
It's definitely Sheffield United, a fantastic example of that. And Bradford as well. I know they're into the top six now and have been going well of late, but it took them a long time to get going. And they're always one of the more fancied sides to eventually get themselves out of League One. But do you think the fact that it is such a tough division, Coventry as well, as you mentioned, they're down in mid-table now. And we're only a few weeks ago on the podcast, we were talking about them going on and winning the league.
I know, it's Coventry's the most surprising for me, how a team can be so convincing in the first half of the season. They seem to be winning every week. They were scoring goals for fun. And then all of a sudden, I don't know exactly what's changed at that point to come. Even you can put January in there as well. It starts to hit late February and they start to drop off massively. And now, like you said, they're sitting in mid-table and they're basically, promotion is long gone. When you look at teams like Southend as well, who are really, really going and maybe putting together a late playoff push, you look at the likes of Coventry and you think now they're going from talking about them being potential champions to talking about them not making the playoffs.
League Two's sewn up, but in terms of League One and the Championship, are you going to pick a winner for us at this stage?
Difficult. I think
Burton topping the tree in League One at the moment, Wigan, Walsall, Gillingham potentially in the mix.
I think I do fancy the teams currently at the top to stay there. Like I said about Burnley, I know Burton dropped points. They obviously, the 0-0 draw and then losing to Millwall as well over the bank holiday weekend. But you've got to look at it in the long run. They've coped with a managerial change, which is obviously massive for a club who were in their position. They've managed to keep up at the top end of the table. And they've been playing good football as well. They have been really, really entertaining to watch at times. So I think, for me, I think teams currently occupying top spots are going to stay there, but I think strange things have happened in the Football League, so it's going to be interesting to watch come May.
I'm going to go Burnley and Wigan. Wigan only lost 5 games all season.
Wigan,
Burton have lost 10.
Wigan started slow as well, and they've really, really got themselves into the mix, as you said. And I think we mentioned Bradford and Sheffield United, but when Wigan obviously got relegated, I think they were favourites to win the league. I think a lot of people have backed them, so could well happen.
Yeah, Burton do win a lot of games, but also lose quite a few as well. You have to go to 8th place in the Championship before you get a team that's lost double figures this season. Next, we're going to talk transfers, Tom's favourite part of the show.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Time to talk transfers now. And Tom, Fulham's Moussa Dembélé is often in this feature, but a new side linked with him this week. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool are the latest to join what seems to be a long line of clubs looking at trying to sign Moussa Dembélé. Free agent in the summer, as we've discussed previously. Obviously, Fulham, with their position, they're going to need a player like him to really turn up at this point in the season and hopefully for them keep them in the Championship. But even then, I don't think surviving is going to tempt him to stay when he's got the likes of Monaco. I think PSG, his former club, are potentially interested in him as well. There's a couple of Premier League clubs. So it's just another one to join that line, but it does look like he will be making a move to a top club in the summer anyway.
Yeah, definitely moving on, Moussa Dembélé. 5 Premier League teams could be in the mix for the signature of Southend goalkeeper Daniel Bentley. Tell us more about him and where he could be going.
Yeah, Daniel Bentley's caught a lot of people's eye in the League Two Player Final last year with the penalty heroics, should say, really. He's a very good goalie whenever you watch him, and I think there's always been Championship interest with him. I think Leeds, I think Hull as well were linked with him last summer. But yeah, now 5 Premier League clubs in Everton, West Brom, Bournemouth, Norwich and Watford are all looking at trying to sign him. He's only 22 as well, so he's got plenty of years ahead of him. And they say, obviously, goalkeepers reach their peak a bit later than outfield players. So does look a very good prospect if a Premier League club does pick him up. But will he get the game time if he goes to a Premier League club? If I think Championship you might do, but not too sure about Premier League.
Yeah, always the danger, isn't it, going to a Premier League club, and important if all those teams are in the mix for him that he makes the right decision for his future, not tempted by the cash and ends up sitting on the bench and pretty much will end up back down the ladder on loan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He doesn't want to become these keepers who is second, third choice and constantly keeps getting loaned out, because as we've seen with so many young Premier League goalies that they just don't get anywhere with it and they end up going to maybe League One, well, back to League One, lower-end championship clubs, and it's not what he'll want, particularly with his potential and the way he's going. He will really need to think about it and think if he does get the move to the Premier League club, well, it's fantastic, and obviously future internationally as well, it could be good for him. He's got to think about the game time as well and what will help him develop as a player.
Huddersfield's secret German signing revealed. An intriguing headline. Tell us more.
Yeah, Huddersfield, there was... I think it's been a couple of weeks now that they'd agreed a deal, a pre-contract, for a player from Germany. That player was unnamed until now. It's Kaiserslautern left-back Chris Löhr. He'll be joining Huddersfield in the summer. I think Huddersfield, with their emphasis on passing the ball with quick play as well, quick attacking, using the width, he'll obviously be a good signing. And Wagner is a league that obviously he knows quite well. So he's looked back to Germany and obviously it could be a good signing for them.
He's certainly doing a decent job, David Wagner, at Huddersfield Town. And the final story, Ipswich loanee Ben Pringle extending his stay at the club from Fulham.
Yeah, Ipswich Town have, under Mick McCarthy as well, they seem to have a transfer policy of loaning a lot of players or taking players from other championship clubs and doing well with them. And Ben Pringle's been one of those players, so he'll be with them for the remainder of the season. Ex-Rotherham, obviously from Fulham, but could be a key player if Ipswich do manage to sneak into the playoffs, as they are very, very close to doing so.
Excellent stuff. Next, we're going to be looking ahead to some big games this weekend. And unfortunately, we're going to put the predictions on ice, not on Feeney. So we feel it's a bit harsh.
No Tom Feeney, no point.
Yeah, it's become his feature, I do think. So we're going to be talking the big games at the weekend right after this.
We love the Football League. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Moving to the final part of the 72 podcast. And Tom, some big games this weekend and the lunchtime kickoff in the Championship tomorrow. We've mentioned them already. Fresh with their £30 million in the bank at Burnley. Top of the Championship by 4 points. Go to second place, Brighton. Absolute cracker to kick the Football League action off after the international break.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic time in the season for this game to come as well, first v second. Obviously, we're talking about if Burnley can go on and win the league. I think if they can get the win here, then they're pretty much sorted for the home running to the end of the season. So, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic game. Two sides who have really been impressive in recent weeks. But for Brighton, we spoke about Burnley, obviously, potential winners for Brighton. They want to make sure that they can really cement that second place as well, try and get automatic promotion and be in the earlier kickoff, put pressure on the likes of Hull as well.
Yeah, real interesting game. Burnley have got a tough few games. They've got to play Middlesbrough still later in April, and then they've got to play Cardiff on Tuesday as well. So some tough games coming up for them. And if they're not to fall into part two of the podcast today, what we discussed earlier about feeling the pressure, they really need to get a result tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be really an indication of if they are champions material, if they can get the results against the likes of Brighton, against the likes of Borough as well. And then Cardiff as well, they're going quite well. They're going to be looking to try and sneak in the playoffs, maybe take that spot off Sheffield Wednesday as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a real test of them as a squad and as a club.
Yeah, who do you fancy?
Tough one to call, but I'm going to say draw here. I can't really separate the two of them, but I reckon score draw, so...
Yeah, fingers crossed for a Burnley win for me. The club are also announcing news this week that the former midfielder Ian Britton has died at the age of 61 following a battle with prostate cancer. Scored the goal that kept Burnley in the fourth division wow, against Leyton Orient in 1987. So the club paying tribute to Ian Britton this week. Next up, Tom, we can talk about Leeds United. It's a Yorkshire derby. It's another Steve Evans derby. He's going back to Rotherham again. And Neil Warnock also facing his former side as well, now in charge of Rotherham. They've been in unbelievable form since he's got there. I think it's 11 points on the board in their last five games or something.
It's crazy, their form currently. Yeah, really terrific. Dragged themselves away.
So what's going to happen tomorrow? Dakara's obviously out for Leeds now. He's had a long time to stew on that 4-1 defeat to Huddersfield. Steve Evans, is he going to be able to get a reaction against one of the informed sides?
I think maybe Leeds needed a result like the one they did against Huddersfield when they're going to play a team who are informed like Rotherham at the moment. They need that. They need kind of that kick and that reminder that it's obviously with the three games winning before the Huddersfield result that it's not just a league that they can win every game in. And Huddersfield did very well when they came to Elland Road. Obviously, as the scoreline suggests, it was convincing. So for Rotherham, though, I mean, I think Neil Warnock said earlier that they are in a great position, but they've not achieved anything yet. So obviously, they've pulled themselves away a bit, but they're not safe from relegation. So it's another one that's difficult to call. But I think, obviously, with Leeds and they're wanting the reaction, hopefully we'll want the reaction. They could maybe get something from this one, but you can't write off Rotherham.
Are you going for? You've got to go for Leeds, haven't
you? I've got to go for Leeds, I suppose. Yeah, Leeds. Leeds to win 3-1.
3-1. Confidence. I'm going to go for Rotherham, actually. I think Neil Warnock will continue this fine run, a 1-0 win for the Millers. And Sheffield United against Walsall. Sheffield United, their playoff hopes were pretty much all but ended midweek. Over Easter, and Walsall, they're still knocking on the door trying to get in those automatic places. Who do you fancy here?
I think it's going to be interesting to watch Sheffield United on this, because like you said about their playoff ambitions really are kind of over now, and it's going to be interesting to see how the players will react to that, because obviously they'll want to push themselves up the table as far or as much as they can, whereas Walsall, it's not an easy stadium to go to, Bramall Lane, and play. Obviously, very passionate crowd there, but they'll be, like you said, looking to get into that top two. So it's going to be a very, very good game to watch, I think. And I do really fancy the away side to come and get something. I do think Walsall can win it.
Yeah, I'm in agreeance as well. Score prediction?
There always seems to be goals in games involving Sheffield United, so I'm going to say 4-2 Walsall.
4-2.
Let's go for it.
Some goal fest. I'm just going to go for a standard 2-1 victory for Walsall and keeping them in the mix and piling more pressure on Nigel Adkins at Sheffield United. Tom, thank you very much. We don't have Tom Feeney this week, so no predictions proper. Those predictions will not count in your total score. Just quickly, the score's on the doors. I'm still top of the table, Tom, if you wondered, in this score predictor. 29 points for me. You've got 25. And Tom Feeney, he's not going to catch anybody. He's got 17 points. So we'll await his comeback on the podcast next week and get back into the score predictions, and we'll be back next week with another FL72 podcast, of course, in association with Radio Yorkshire. Make sure you follow the 72 at FBL72 on Twitter, and check out the website as well, the72.co.uk.
We love the Football League. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.